Matthew 28. We have to skip the intro. And so we said that the Jesus gave us the Spirit to continue His ministry, right? He gave us the Spirit to continue His ministry. That's what He did. Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Matthew 28 and 20. So, the concept of a Christ that left and is coming back cannot be established. He is with us in the Holy Ghost. John 14, 16 through to 20. He is with us to do what? To continue His ministry. So we can say that the ministry actually is Jesus' own. Right? Now, what we do is to come into that ministry. Now, let me look at Ephesians 4. I was going to get to it at some point. Ephesians 4. I'll give you an illustration and let's see whether it makes sense. You know, you have verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Verse 8 says, He ascended over and He gave gifts unto men. Ephesians 4, right? Now, let's see how it is. Now, we normally assume that He gave gifts unto men would mean that Pastor Carol here, my friend, is the man He gave. Right? So, let's look at it very well. So, this is the body of Christ. Right? The body of Christ. So, Pastor Carol is meant to be the gift. So, the body of Christ is here. Let me use Pastor Lanko. I mean, to use you as the body of Christ is an interesting thing. Come on, please. This is the body of Christ. I think you can come now. The gift. So, this is the body of Christ. I don't want to be Jesus, but let's assume I'm Jesus. Because I'm married. So, I don't want to be Jesus like that. I am married. Now, this is the gift. This is the body of Christ. So, He now gave this gift to the body of Christ. That's the traditional thinking, right? Okay. Is He not in the body of Christ? Huh? He is in the body of Christ. So, come inside the body of Christ. No, before. You don't like the body of Christ. So, this is the body of Christ. He is part of the body of Christ. So what then does He mean by He gave gifts unto men? If He is part of the body of Christ, please sit down. Thank you. So sometimes we create an issue. But look at the next verse, verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I challenge the English translation there. Because the Greek word there means equipping. Right? It's not maturity. And it has two words, katatismos and katatizo. Okay? Now, in Hebrews 11:3, it says, Hebrews 11:1, now faith is something that is old for the other says nothing. By it, the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the walls, now I use the word anion, which means times, periods, right, were framed by the word of God. That word framed there is katatizo. Katatizo. It means to fit something. You know, the way you say, oh, how many of you have used home designers before? People that help you set up your sitting room. And this is what I want. Okay, let's use event managers. So you tell them, I want this one to be like this. So they now say, what exactly do you want? They now fit it according to your plan. What they have done is to make it ready for the wedding. Right? So when it says, through faith we understand that the walls were made ready by the word of God, that the things that were seen were not made of things which do appear. So the worlds, those times were made ready by the word of God. So let's use the word make ready, right? Or make fit to function. Does that work? Does that work? Okay. For example, if I bought a car, I don't use that one anyway. I think we just use the house one. Help me take care of my sitting room. I'm not really done kitchen innovation before. Somebody comes and says, I want to change that. And then somebody comes in and he makes it ready for use. Now, let's now use that word, make ready for use, in Ephesians 4:12. For the perfecting of the saints. Let's change the word. To make the saints ready for the work of the ministry. For the edifying. Interestingly, the word edifying there is actually a noun. Some can argue it. Oikodomio. That is for the building or the edifice of the body of Christ. Now, let's go back to the events manager thing. We want to do a party. I think I should have said birthday, yes. Not wedding. I take it back. That's inspiration. I was talking about birthday party. So we make the place ready for a birthday party. So when the place is ready, all of us that it is meant for only come to what? To take it. Right? Okay. So, for the perfecting of the saints. So, did God, did Jesus give apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher to the body? Or the body is made up of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher? Does it make sense? So, the moment we come into the body, it is available. Does it work better? Does it work better? So, which means that upon the resurrection, all the ministry gifts were available. It's not me or you that he gave in the resurrection. It's himself as apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. So what we do is to receive what he gave. So he equipped the body of Christ. He made the body of Christ ready for the work of the ministry. I therefore say that there is no other gift available. That is the gift that is available. He made it ready. So the body of Christ, can we say the body of Christ is ready for ministry? Now, what is the body of Christ? The word body is the word soma. S-O-M-A. Now, unfortunately, somehow, some English translations also don't help us. Look at Romans 12:1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. It uses plural. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable worship. So, it is oftentimes used in translation to be your physical body. Is a living sacrifice. Now, the next verse now says, but be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will prove that which is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now we have said that where scripture is misinterpreted, a major truth is lost. So let us use our traditional way of thinking. My body is a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Present my body. My physical body is a living sacrifice. And the word living sacrifice, of course, the word living is zaho, it means alive. Then the word sacrifice, there is the word tusia, using temple. So definitely in mind of Paul and his life, he's talking about temple. Living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable worship, friskia. So the three words he uses is zaho, alive, which means he takes you back to the New Testament where you present an animal. Then it says living sacrifice, tusia, which is something you offer for worship. Then he says, is your reasonable worship, treskia, temple service. So which means at the back of Paul's mind and his author, his audience, they knew he was talking about God's temple. Are you following what I'm saying here? God, that is about temple. Worship, you know. So now, when we say it's our physical body, it doesn't flow. By verse 4, let's read verse 4 together. Just verse 4. Let's go. As what? So he uses body again. Now, is verse 4 physical body? No, is verse 4 physical body? No, it can't be. Verse 5 now talks about differing gifts, right? So it's talking about gifts where? So how did we read verse 1 as our physical body? So if body is union, look at Romans 6:6. That the body of sin might be destroyed. Right? The body of sin. Now, the body of sin is not your physical body. Now, let us use body as union. Does it make better sense? So, our union with sin has been what? Destroyed. Our physical body is not the body of sin, no. Our physical body is the temple of God. Right? Okay. Now, why did he now use body, Romans 12:1? Remember Paul's argument in Romans 12:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, first to the Jew, then to the Greek. So the church in Rome had Jew and Greek, right? So the essence of that letter was it was resolving conflict. The Jew and the Gentile in the church of God. In Romans 14, you know, he kept talking about, you know, to Romans 15, you see, he said it's to the Jews, then the Gentiles. Romans 3:30, Jews, Gentiles. You know, he kept saying Jews, Gentiles. So between Romans 9 and Romans 11, he was letting the Jew and Gentile see that they both have access into God's plan. Do you understand? Right? So he's writing to Jew and Gentile in the same church. Is that very clear? So let's assume that these are the Jews, these are the Gentiles. Then what are you? Angels. Jews, Gentiles. So I'm writing to you. I've spoken about your different conflicts, your different issues. That look, that what he does, he says Abraham was circumcised, but after he had received the promise, he knocked off Jews by saying that. That means that God called him righteous before he was circumcised. So it was a Gentile first when God called him. That thing will get a Jew annoyed. So then he now traces back to Adam. At least you can't call Adam a Jew. Do you understand? From Adam to Moses. So that's his argument, that we are all in the same. Do you understand? So when he now gets to Romans 12:1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Is the mercies, he said in verse chapter 11, that the mercies has brought you and Gentile together, that you present your union as Jew, a living sacrifice, which means our union is the temple of God, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable worship. That is why he now said, don't be conformed to this world, don't think culturally, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Does it work? Does it work? So the plural there is what got people off, is soma. Just like when you read 1 Corinthians 12:13, and it says, by one spirit you are all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Gentile, bond or free, right? And you have all been made to drink into one spirit. Now, when that body you read there, is it union or physical body? So Romans 12:1, does it appear like physical body or union? Does it make sense? Now see what we have missed by that translation. Are you here? Because what Paul was talking about was unity. So the body of Christ right, is our union with Christ. Is that very clear? The body of Christ is our union with Christ. And notice that when Paul used the same phrase in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, for he set some in the body, firstly apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after them, miracles, helps, government, and dancing of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers. Then he says, do all work miracles? Are all gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Now, listen very well, though. Then it says, covet he earnestly, more earnestly, the best gifts. So, was this referring to human beings? In verse 28, he said some in the body. Firstly, the apostles. Secondly, was he talking about persons or gifts? So it's very clear. So which means the body of Christ is already fitted. You know what you call factory fitted AC? The body of Christ is fitted with apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher. It came fully fitted. Our union with Christ is fully fitted. We have the equipment already for the work of the ministry. What are the equipments? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastoring, teacher. Does it make sense? So which means the ministry gift is a function of our union with Christ. The body of Christ came prepared. Upon the resurrection of Jesus, it came prepared. So if we explore the concept of body to mean union, look at another one in John 2. When he says, destroy this temple, after 3 days I'll raise it again. And John 2:21 says, he spoke of the temple of his body. Now let me ask you, is that temple his physical body? I'll set it a trap for you. Huh? It's his father's house. Right? When he rose from the dead, they remembered, right? And they believed the scriptures. Now, it is actually both. His physical body was raised from the dead, right? Yeah. On the third day. But what else did God raise in his resurrection? Union with man. Okay? What about union with Jews and Gentiles? Yeah. In my father's house, there are many mansions. So when we say body of Christ, right? Physically speaking, his physical body on the resurrection, but much more substantially is our union with God called the body of Christ. Does it make sense? Is that body of Christ not the temple of God? Good. So the body of Christ came fitted for the work of the ministry, for the edifice, Ephesians 4:12, of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we ask for being no more babes, tossed to and fro by every wind of darkness, like calling Christ of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So, which means that God has given us, there's one body, one spirit, one Lord. Do you understand? One body, right? One body, right? One spirit, one Lord, one baptism, one faith. One God who is Father over all and in you all and through you all. So it's a fact that the body of Christ refers to our union with Christ. And Paul was the one that used that word the most. Why? Why did he have to use that word the most? Because he was taking the gospel to the Gentile world. So he had to emphasize that in Christ Jesus, Jews and Gentiles are in the same body. Does it make sense? Okay. So in that body, therefore, we have what we call the ministry gifts. So we come into Christ Jesus to receive the ministry gift. We don't bring the ministry gift into Christ Jesus. Are you here? We don't bring the ministry gift into Christ Jesus. We come into the body of Christ to see that it is fitted for the purpose of the work of the ministry and the edifice of the body of Christ. Does that work? Does it work? Good. Now, therefore, it means that our equipment for the work of the ministry is already available. But notice where it is. It is available in our union. That takes us back to what we said about supernatural divine relationships. The body of Christ, is it just me and Christ? Or me and believers? Good. Myself and believers. Myself and believers. So God has made available to us the ministry gifts. They are available to us. Amen. Good. So, in practical terms, if I am being discipled and taught, I can only produce the works of those ministry gifts. Because that is what is available in the body of Christ. It's what is available. So, when we are training people for the work of the ministry, we are training them to work in the ministry gifts. Is that correct? Is that correct? In the ministry gifts. You know, some people talk about the ministry of helps. And because in 1 Corinthians 12:28, it talks about helps and governments. One thing that first of all got my attention, when you saw helps and governments, I was wondering. Now, people have said that the helps there refers to those who support the work of the ministry. Ushers, those who give. Then governments, they call it pastors. It's a very funny explanation, interesting explanation. But if you look at that 1 Corinthians 12:28, by the time you go to 29 and 30, he does not repeat, look at it, please open your Bible quickly. He doesn't repeat helps and governments. He doesn't. This is why you must consult the original language. Did you notice it? 1 Corinthians 12, look at it. Look at 28 to 31. 30. It says some, firstly apostles, Secondly, prophets, study teachers, after that, helps, government, the other kind of tongues. Now, look at verse 29. Are all? Do all speak with tongues? He didn't repeat helps and governments. Why? Because the word helps and governments is a compound word. It's just one single word. Cubanesis epilepsis is one single word. It means to direct and give direction. It's a compound word used for interpretation. It's not helps ministries. It's a compound word. That is why he now used do all interpret. So that means that the word helps and government therefore means what? Who's following that? Is that clear? Is that clear? Is that clear? Which means that when I speak with tongues, of course, the word diversity is another problem. It has made people assume that speaking in tongues is different kind of tongues. But the word diversity is actually not a plural word. It's the word genus. It means unique. Unique speaking. Unique speaking. 1 Corinthians 12:10, same thing. Diversities of tongues is unique speaking. It means that this is a unique kind of speaking. So if it is unique, I need an interpretation. So helps and governments. Do you get it? So it's not helps ministries. So anybody that says, well, I'm not called to the fivefold. Nobody is. I'm called to helps ministries. It's the same way we are called a deacon, a non-preaching person. We are correct. But the deacon's office is actually You know, the Bible doesn't use assistant pastor. That is actually deacon. In 1 Timothy 3, when he mentions the office of the deacon and the office of the bishop, only two things he doesn't repeat: to teach and to rule. He now says that deacon must prove himself. And he will purchase for himself a good, greater degree of the faith. So, the deacon is a proving office. Till you now are able to oversee people's lives. Deacon is not a non-spiritual ministry. The first set of deacons, assumably, are the Acts 6 guys. Was it non-spiritual? Full of the Holy Ghost? Wisdom? Did they work miracles? Did they preach? Were they assisting the apostles? Did they make the work easier? Did they help the work spread more? That is what a deacon is. A proving office. But was any of them put over a congregation? No. That was why Philip called Peter and John. So, if you have in your mind that, well, I'm not called to all this one, I'm just called to help Papa. If you are helping Papa, how you are going to help Papa, right, is by being trained to do what he's doing. Amen. Is it making sense? That's what you are doing. So, the more reason why we must understand what God's plan is. You know, I said it the other day that when a scripture is misinterpreted, a major truth is lost. It's not that God won't bless you. It's not that, no. It's just that you are not going to follow his plan. So as long as we are holding on to those belief systems, was yesterday, man, that's what we're talking about. I was bothered about something, so I asked him about something. So, you know, I said, that thing can't change. It was about discipline. Now, of course, there should be discipline when people err. But I saw a guy, he committed a sin. Of course, the normal ones. And he now openly told people, it wasn't caught with that Galatians 6:1, he came out. And then they asked him to step down for 2 years. He now told me that he has noticed that practice, that nobody ever remains the same again. So I said, where did we get that practice from? That if somebody falls into sin, we remove him from ministry. It's not in the Bible, though. Now, this is not to give license to behave anyhow. Because if you become recalcitrant and you show no remorse, we'll deal with you like 1 Corinthians 5. But if the Bible, if you are going to remove him from ministry because he committed sin, there will be no Bible at all. All the authors, every one of them, they get Yahweh. Everybody. It's a Bible written by incomplete men, by a complete God. Are you here? But notice how that thing has. So he now explained to me that the scripture they are actually using is 1 Corinthians 5. Deliver the such one to Satan. Ha! That has nothing to do with that, though. But if something is misinterpreted, a major truth is lost. I will now lose many people in the work of the ministry. I dare say, even some people that preach grace, when they come to this kind of thing, they don't know how to handle it. They will just go back to that their legalistic thinking. In fact, the man I was talking to, I told him yesterday, I explained to him, an American pastor. So I told him, I said, look, I understand this. He said that he wants to see fruit of repentance. I said, but you are the one that said it. That is the fruit of the repentance. He said, yeah, you know, pastor, you know, I went on. The doctor said that. You don't understand. He is totally into the thing. Everything you are saying is not making sense to him. Let me tell you something you don't say. That's why I said we must not back down on interpreting scriptures properly. It will save people. You know what he now told me? I said, but Moses, he's the primary author of the Bible. Everybody is quoting Moses. And we know what he said. You know what else, how he answered him? He said, well, that was why God kept him in the wilderness. Eh? I've never heard that before in my life. And I didn't want to sound like I was too harsh. So I said, but did he step down in the wilderness? He said, you have a point, Chris, Pastor, you have a point. He never stepped down now. Even when he heard, and God said, you sacrifice me. You know what he did? He was the one that recommended to God. You can't leave this group without pastors now. And then, what do you want us to do? We are bringing to Joshua. He now asked the same Moses to lay hands on Joshua. Where did we get that thing from? The same Moses. Who did Jesus quote the most in his ministry? David. Daffidi. Ogbologbo. David. You have to take that Bible away. Who did he choose to lead the apostles? Peter. Peter. Why was Judas' ministry taken? He killed himself. Who asked you to kill yourself? If you are even going to kill yourself, do like Samson. That when you are living, live like a hero. The day they go, then Sabia said, give me your view one more time. I will show these guys. He held the pillar. Hey, live that way. Amen. Abisa. So the man he said, he was kept in the wilderness. I never heard that before. I said, but he led the people. He said, you're right. He said, and I said, it's my denomination. That's how we do. I said, okay, I understand your denomination. But just know that your denomination is not practicing the word of God. So when his scripture is misinterpreted, a major truth is lost. And then we now breed hypocrites. People will be condemning what they are doing because they have not been found out. Look at Joseph. Joseph's story was interesting. Potiphar's wife had his voice notes. Abi? You have the voice notes now. You don't know how to voice notes.
The devil has said it. In that day, when it shall come, and the work miracles in your name, hypocrite. And let me even ask you, let's even say something. Why do we believe Joseph did not do it? Let me cause some wahala for you. Sir, how do you know it? It's just because he now became prime minister. So his account will be more credible. What will Potiphar's wife say? Are you here? God doesn't think like you anymore. So there are things that have discouraged people from ministry. I mentioned one. I'm a deacon. Just go back and tell it to me if you're a deacon. I'm into health ministry. Then I come and intervene on me. Come and pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm a giver. Who will be Paul in you? Paul said with my hands. In fact, he told the congregation, I will take from other church and give to you. So saying you are giving up is not a substitute for what we are talking about. A disciple of Dr. Abel Lamela is a man or woman who is reproducing the baby. That is it. A man or woman, not man, woman. That's a man. Is reproducing his ministry. And God gave us His Spirit to give us. It's not in your strength. It's in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I asked him a question. He said, does it mean that we all have to be pastors? I know we have a long journey in knocking off from religious things. Now, in Matthew 9, 36 and 37, 37 to 38, pray, he says, the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send for laborers. What laborer was he talking about?
36, shepherds. Am I called to be a shepherd? The moment you are discipling people, you are a shepherd. The problem is that we are title crazy. Title conscious. Forget title. So the minute they call you brother, you are discouraged. When Jesus appeared to Paul, he didn't say, I am the Lord Jesus. He said, I am Jesus. Is that not it? How did Peter refer to Paul? Our brother Paul. How does that change who you are? One day a guy was going to introduce me. I came to preach somewhere in Port Harcourt in 1988. It was a missions conference. And then he said, well, there's somebody that's going to speak here now. He's a very young evangelist. Let him quickly. He said, well, like, let me just say what I want to say. That it's not really part of the major program. So that can discourage you, right? But I wasn't discouraged. I just stood up and preached. When I was done, everybody in the front row stood up. Right? And then one man there decided that was a commissioner. He decided to use his convoy to take me back to Asaba because I had a meeting there. You know? It didn't matter to me that you didn't even know who I was. I went for one of that NYSC national conference like that. And then they said, the man of God, the guy was introducing me, the man of God that is going to come, I don't really know him. Can you imagine? 2003. I don't really know him, but I believe when he comes, he will introduce himself. That was how they called me. I just came up. You understand? And they say, I came up. When I was done, the healing line was so much. In fact, one sister, Pastor Hannah, she's in Abuja. She said, Pastor, did you actually mean the show come out? I said, yes. I said, are you looking up? I said, What's happening? Just look up. I looked up. Now, so I see head. I said, Pastor, so move fast. The way I was laying hands. When I was done, they all now queued. All the pastors. And they said, I should come and speak for them. I got an invitation for almost a whole year. So you don't be title conscious. It's the gifts that you should pay attention to. Neglect not the gifts, not the title. If you are in this ministry, there's a gift working. You should be able to teach Bible easily. It should rub off on you. They should see you outside and say, you are 10 past. Not because you mentioned doctor's name. Oh. No. Because that's what is working. We are reproducing ourselves. So don't be title conscious. We can give titles, zonal pastor, district pastor, but the gift is what is working, not the titles. Reverend is a title. Jesus was called reverend. The word rabbi actually means reverend. He's a revered person. Rabbi is reverend. So that was a way to address someone, you know. But that was not the gift. So even if they are calling you brother Chegu, it changes nothing. There is a gift working. Hallelujah. There is a gift working. Are you here? There is a gift working. Though I must add this. If somebody is going to receive from you, he must call you according to the gift. If you are going to stay humble, you must not use any of such appellation. See how it works. Whilst I must see the man of God in that office to receive. The man of God will see himself like the apostles. I'm just a human being like you. We are both maintaining the glow of the Spirit. So even if your pastor introduces himself, my name is Shegun and all that. That is what he should do. You cannot do that. Is that very clear? No, you cannot do that. Because it is the lesser that is blessed by the greater. Are you here? So there is a gift working here. Amen. Paul reminded Timothy, neglect not the gifts which is in you. People have asked me, what is that gift? I laughed. What is the gift he was referring to? And his charisma. In 2 Timothy 1:6, stir up the gift. What is the gift? Did you notice that there was nothing Paul was doing Timothy did not do? Right? Nothing. In fact, Paul said that the man he can send that will act like him is Timothy. When Ephesus was going astray, Paul had predicted in Acts 20, 29 and 30. Said, after my departure, some of you would speak perverse things, you know, and all that. Draw disciples. It actually happened. He now sent Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:3, to go to Ephesus to correct the wrong. What Paul could do, Timothy was able to do. Why? By the putting on of my hands. 1 Timothy 3:10, you've known me. 2 Timothy 2:2, the things you have heard of me. Was there contact? Was there contact? Regular contact. Did he lay hands on Timothy just once? Just once. It was several. Hands were laid on Timothy severally. That means we have deposits available to us all the time. Church, let's take advantage of these things. Let us see that there's a supernatural atmosphere around our ministry that causes things to rub off on us. The gifts of God are available. And you know what? We're going to work in them. I dare say that in 2024, we'll have very rare demonstrations of God's Spirit on the streets, in the fellowship meetings, in unusual areas, yeah, as we obey and walk in these lights and in this truth. We lay aside unusual, unnecessary traditions and belief system and throw ourselves openly and totally even to the moving of God's Spirit in this assembly. For some, I've wondered, why do things look like I'm struggling? Why does it look like I'm not reproducing things? Well, you may have to track back a bit. You may have to check a bit of how you handle things, how you receive, how you take in virtually every meeting. For if you do, it will be as though that the things that were looking difficult becomes easy as you step into a typical Sunday service. Always come prepared. Always come prepared. Prepare for something to rub off on you. Be hungry and thirsty and expect a rub off of that gift and the grace on your life and ministry. For the either two areas where you seem to have struggled, it looks like things are not working. As you correct this and correct that and see that really there are things that are in the ministry almost peculiar to the work happening here that you will need to honor, you will need to receive, and you will need to walk in. I say that at this season, and don't miss it, this is a season where you must pay more attention than ever before. Go back to some old teachings. Go back to some teachings, some meetings. Go back to those things and hear them again. You will see how many things you missed out in the instructions. And I dare say that as you are getting information in the teaching of God's word, pay attention to the instructions. I'll go back to something the Lord showed me last night, and that we're on the very edge. I saw it again last year, on the edge of something is about to like blow and happen amongst us. But we need to make some corrections. Those corrections will involve honoring our meetings. If we don't treasure our meetings, the way we prepare for them, the way we attend them, you know, we will be shortchanging ourselves. We need to honor those meetings. The way we prepare for it, the way we pray towards it, the way you can even take a fast. You know, 30 days of glory is going to happen. Now imagine if you understood that name of glory and you say, I'm going to throw out the meeting, just fast and wait on the Lord. I'm going to spend 2 hours every day praying in tongues. And therefore, what is on my man of God, my shepherd, God's man over my life, will rub off on me. I dare say, you will see how doors will open even in the work of the ministry. I'll say something again. There are some of us that, you know, not all, but when it comes to your physical body, there are some things that are happening. Just do an honor check. And you will see that the gifts of healings upon your man of God will flow to you, even from teaching, even from just looking at him. And those things will be corrected. There are restorations that will happen when we walk in honor. And we don't walk in familiarity, and not just to our pastor. Even though the pastors he has delegated over our lives, we need to really see them in the office and the grace of God. And we'll see an ease as well that will happen in the work of the ministry. I say this particularly about the work of the ministry. If we set those things right, and we pay more attention, we obey, we take instructions more, some difficult terrains will be resolved, even in the work of the ministry. I say to 2 people here, even more, you were given an assignment and you abandoned it. If you don't go back to it and allow time to go over time and over time, you will struggle for a very long time. Go back to it. Walk in obedience. All the excuses you gave about not being able to handle that cell, that unit, you knew they were the flesh. Go and correct yourself and get back in fellowship vitally with the Holy Spirit and get back into service the way it ought to be. And I say again that a key element of the season we are in is consecration, deep heartfelt consecration. Not the one for people to see, but much more the ones nobody will see. Where in your heart you dedicate yourself to be available and give yourself fully to what God is doing here. You must open your eyes and see what God is doing. Don't be like that Gehazi who said, there are enemies around us. And Elisha had to say, I pray that God will open his eyes. Your eyes should be open and you see what is going on around you. Because if you don't, you might make errors. You might take the wrong steps. You might be assumptuous and presumptuous. But you have to open your eyes, particularly to what God is doing here. Take your attention off other churches, off other ministries, and pay attention here. Something is happening that you must open your eyes to see. As it rubs off on you, it will rub off on those that you lead. And some have struggled because they are trying to be unique, trying to be different from everyone. That will create greater problems for you. Don't walk in the flesh. Don't try and do something and say, you are different. Don't be different. Receive and walk in the manifestation. And we'll see a greater glory in our midst. You have asked, I close on this, that, oh Lord, why am I not seeing signs and wonders as I should? Well, this is the correction. Make that correction. You will see the signs and the wonders. Let's lift our hands and just worship.